We have been preaching on the eyes of the lamp, which in reality are the seven spirits of God. The lamp of God is on the inside of every man. It represents the inner spiritual man, who is created in the image of Him that created him. That means he's created in the image of God, having the exact attributes, likeness of the living, incorruptible and invisible God. That personality lies within every man. But somehow, this mystery has been hidden from us over the ages. The darkness of this world blinded the eyes of our understanding. Now, the eyes of our understanding are those seven eyes of the lamp. That is our true inner spiritual light, the insight that we had in the beginning, before we were introduced into this system called the world. So the redemptive work of God is to restore our eyesight so that we can see once more. If you look at the color spectrum of light, you know that there are seven principal colors, generally seven principal colors. And out of these seven principal colors come forth all the other colors and forms that we see in this world. See, in reality, if you look closer to that seven color spectrum, as we see in the rainbow, you will notice that there are other colors nested within those seven colors. And you discover that a mixture of this or that, or less of this or that, at a higher frequency or a lower frequency, produces another form or color or whatever. In the past, I worked in a paint laboratory many years ago, and normally we had what they call color matching. So that you had normally several principal colors given to you, and out of those seven, you know, those principal colors, you could match those colors to make, mix those colors to certain degrees to make another type of color, a desired color. That's what we call color matching. So everything that we see today in this world is simply an effect of the light. See, right now I'm in a hall somewhere in Italy, and I can see different shades, colors, white, black, brown, red, blue, green, pink, and all over the place, different colors. Without that light, there's no way these things could appear the way they are. Without light, there will be nothingness. Without light, there will be complete void and nothingness. That is what the Spirit was trying to show us in Genesis chapter 1, where the Bible says that darkness covered the face of the deep. Darkness. It talks about void, nothingness. deadness. Praise God. That is how, that is the dimension or the realm in which the man who loses the eyesight, the spiritual eyesight, walks in. The man whose understanding is darkened, he walks in nothingness. See, when we walk in the natural, when we walk in the carnal dimension without that true spiritual light, which is the light of the lamp, we actually walk in relation to nothingness, things that have no eternal value, things that are not. We walk in relation to idols. And out of all these things come the sorrow and the tribulation and all the pain. These things reduce, you know, that son of God into becoming a slave of corruption. And you're subject to vanity. You see, you war over things that are not. Worrying in your members, no peace, no rest. Why? Because the eyes of the understanding, the seven eyes of the lamp within, have been sealed. Praise God. Now the messenger of God has descended and he's now restoring that eyesight. Restoring that eyesight so that we can once more perceive the true light of life and enter into the beauty and the perfection of God's marvelous creation. If the spiritual eyes of a man are not open, the inner eyes, he has not seen the beauty of the creation. It's just like walking into darkness, you know, being born to perpetual darkness as a stillborn baby, and you depart this world in perpetual darkness, meaning that you have not seen anything at all. So you can go out to achieve what men set as goals in this world, get a college degree, get a, you know, a good salary pack, get family member, you know, family upon the earth, get married, get children upon the earth, get a big house, and do many things in this world. But I tell you the truth, the days will come where you awake and you discover that it was just a dream, or you can call it a nightmare, meaning that you never achieve anything. Nothing of these things were simply, you only walked in the shadow, in darkness, in nothingness, in void. Praise God. So we must let the eyes of the lamp, the eyes within, must open so that we can enter back into God's kingdom, enter back into the light, and stand in the place of perfect light and immortality. Oh, hallelujah. There are many, many ways the Spirit is teaching us today. We use many, many ways to preach. Many, many testimonies. See, it comes by revelation. It comes by prophecy. Diverse ways. And all these things is just to shaping up the body of Christ and to bring them into the place of perfection. Hallelujah. It's just to bring us back into the place of life. Hallelujah. It's to cause us to enter in once more through that gate, that same gate that John saw in the book of Revelation chapter 4. A door that was opening to heaven. When you enter into that door, all you behold is the majesty of the one that seated on the throne. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the beauty of it all is that in that kingdom of love, we all share that throne with the Father. Everything that the Father has is ours. It's a realm of pure innocence. It's a realm of pure love. where we don't walk according to the course of this world. There's nothing like pride, self-knowledge, seeking self-glory, and all those things don't exist in our realm. It's a place of perfect love. It's a dimension of perfect love. When you walk in the light, all you see is the lamp and Christ and the Father. That's all you see, and they are one. Praise God. Now this is the power of the saints. The power of the saints is that seven eyes of the lamp. The lamp can roar as a lion of the tribe of Judah because of those seven eyes that he has. The seven eyes of the lamp is what maintains the perfect peace. It can stand upon the waters, the raging seas. It can steal the raging seas. See it? He's lifted high above all principalities and powers, and all the names and all the circumstances that this world can offer. He's lifted above all that, far above, and he's seated in a place of perfect stillness and power. It's all by the eyes of the lamp. The eyes of our understanding must be open. The inner eyes of our understanding must be open, enlightened, to know and to see and to comprehend the truth. Praise God. All those healings of Jesus, when he went about healing the blind, anointing their eyes with mud and all that kind of stuff, is simply the work that the Father, through the Spirit, is working in us today. Praise God. Now that is the miracle that endures forever. Now we hear of miracles here and there and all that, and we thank God for miracles. We see miracles in our ministry. We've seen strange miracles right from the days of our youth, and thank God for miracles. See, if you have a problem in the body, you might feel more comfortable. When you are healed, it's better. Thank God for the miracles. See, but we must understand that true miracle that endures eternally is the healing of our, inner comprehension, so that we can see the truth. All we need to do is see the truth. And when we see the truth, we are set free. Seeing the truth disperses all darkness. Hallelujah. Allowing the light to shine in our hearts, giving us the understanding, causing us to comprehend the mystery of Christ, the immortal and incorruptible Son of God, is all that we need. Once we can comprehend these things, every other thing falls in place. Every other thing is added. That's why Jesus Christ says, "Seek the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added." Praise God. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, says, this is a prayer for the brethren in the Ephesian brethren. He says, "Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Hallelujah. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards the saints," or towards us who believe, "according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand, at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but in that which is to come, and has put, you know, all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Now let's stop there. Now what did Paul pray for here? He says that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. He prayed for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of who? Of Christ. In the knowledge of the secret of the age, which is Christ. In the knowledge of the mystery of the eye, of the I am. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Praise God. You see, when those elders bowed and worshipped him that sat on the throne, you notice that they said that worthy is the Lamb. To him be all the wisdom and all the honor and all the glory. Praise God. That wisdom rests with the Lamb of God, which is Christ. And the prayer wants that every saint should have in his mouth, that he should increase in this wisdom and revelation. Not according to the letters, but to increase consciously in this wisdom and in the revelation, in the knowledge of Christ, in the knowledge of the I, in the knowledge of the one that is within, the greater one that is within, which is Christ. The eyes of our understanding. That's the inner eye. It's the comprehension of the inner man. The spiritual eyes, the seven eyes, be enlightened, open, so that we can once more behold the majesty and the glory of the living one. Praise God. Along with the open eyes, along with the seven eyes, the wisdom from above, comes the power, the dominion. Praise God. It is that wisdom, hallelujah, that illumination that comes from the seven eyes of the Lamb, that inner anointing that raises us from the dead, lifts us up out of the dust, the dunghill, the realm of wasting, of corruptibility. Praise God. Is that what raises us up from the dead? Praise God. When the eyes are open, we are lifted up out of the realm of vanity, from the dead. The dead are those in the grave who live in darkness, who are covered with gross darkness, in nothingness, no light, no understanding. But we who receive the light of life and lifted up out of the realm of death. See it. The dead live in relation to a temporal, corruptible world. See, things that pass away, things that are not. They seem as though they are, but they are not. Oh, hallelujah. You think you can gain something here on the earth? You can make a name for yourself? You can't. Everything already belongs to the Son. He is the one that inherits all things. Hallelujah. That's why in the book of Revelation chapter 21, when John saw the new Jerusalem and him that the Almighty, the one that sat on the throne, he said, to him that overcomes will I give all things, meaning that you shall inherit all things. All things are yours. All things are Christ's. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord. And everything that belongs to the Father belongs to the Son. All things are yours as the eyes of your understanding is illumined and open, you begin to realize this thing consciously, and you don't need to struggle anymore. You don't need to war with people anymore. You just enter into your rest and enjoy that which the Father has presented to you from the foundation of the world. Praise God. So Paul is praying here in Ephesians chapter 1 that the Father give us the spirit of wisdom and understanding and the eyes of understanding being enlightened. He didn't ask that Father give them better jobs. He didn't pray that no, give them, you know, good husbands or good wives. He didn't pray that, oh God, give them the latest cars in the market. He didn't pray that, oh God, you know, get each of them, you know, a mansion with a swimming pool in front of it. No. That was not his prayers. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is the way the nations pray. Those who do not know God, that is how they pray. With vain repetitions, you know, continuously thinking that they can gain some kind of solace or satisfaction from that which is empty. But they can't. To enter into the place of rest and, you know, where you are satisfied. See it? You know, along with your being satisfied, your being content, comes the peace. It comes the tranquil. And as a man, you can never be satisfied. Just forget it. Forget it. When you hit that goal, I tell you, there's going to be a higher goal to get to. Forget it. See, you want a villa somewhere on an island? I tell you, when you get that villa on the island, another goal comes up, pops up from somewhere. Another challenge comes up. It never ends. And you keep struggling and struggling and chasing after shadows. Before you know it, you hear the bell ring and his time is over. Praise God. So his prayer is the eyes of your understanding. Hallelujah. This is the eye of the seven, you know, the seven eyes of the lamp that is given to us today. That is what you need, and that is what will lift us up out of the miry clay and set our feet on the rock. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Now, it does not mean that if along the way, for the moment, I receive a Mercedes Benz, or for the moment, I receive a villa, or for the moment, I get some kind of financial, you know, how do I put it, upliftment, it does not mean that it is evil. But what we are saying is that let our priorities be set, you know, set straight. Seek first the things that are above, and we know that the other things will be added automatically. That is what he's saying. See, it does not mean that you should live wretched, or you cannot be happy, or you cannot, you know, dress well. It does not mean that. See, when people hear these words, at times they turn it around to mean another thing. No, it does not mean that. Praise God. Hallelujah. The same Jesus Christ that says, seek first the kingdom of God and, you know, all the other things will be added. You see, had an expensive robe upon him. See, he had an expensive robe upon him, you know, before he was crucified. That they had to gamble, the soldiers had to gamble over that robe. It was expensive. Now, those are things given to him by the Father. Hallelujah. At times, Jesus Christ will eat with the rich. He was invited to the house of the big important men of those days to grace feast, and he attended. You know, just like being invited to the White House to eat, and he attended. And at the same time, he ate with the very poor and the lowly. See, we should learn to adjust ourselves as the occasion arises. Paul says that I have, you know, learned to what? To abound and to abase myself. See it? To be content in all situations. Not allowing the look of my bank account or the look of my purse to affect me at all. You have to come to that place where you see the look of your finances or whatever without does not affect you. Nothing can take away your peace. The bills can't affect you. Anything without can't affect you. Hallelujah. This thing comes by the illumination that we receive from above. The more spiritual we become, the less these things around us can affect us. Praise God. So before deviating far from the topic, I want us to quickly examine Samson. Remember that these things are placed in the Bible deliberately for our edification. Hallelujah. You see that the secretly, you know, veiled in that message of Samson, Samson the Great, Samson the Judge of Israel, we have, you know, traces of the eyes of the Lamb right in that message, which, like we know, is the seven spirits of God, the celestial understanding, the inner insight of the man of the Spirit. Praise God. Samson, as we know, was a superman. He is a shadow of the Son of God, of the sons of the resurrection. He is a shadow of the overcomer. He is a type of Christ, the man of the Spirit. Praise God. We know the story how the mother, that the mother of Samson, received a messenger from God. Now she was a barren woman. She was barren, and at that period, the children of Israel were suffering great affliction in the hands of the Philistines because of their usual disobedience and all that. The Philistines had the upper hand over the Israelites for 40 years, and they were tormented, harassed, you know, for 40 years they were under the hands, dominion of the Philistines. Praise God. This is what happens when a man does not walk in the light. Jesus Christ says you are the salt of the earth. Say it. And when the salt loses its flavor, it is cast out and trodden upon by men. That is, men trample upon it. Likewise, man, when a man does not maintain himself in the light, see it, he only opened the door to be under the dominion of the wicked one, where men and their systems and their doctrines and everything can put you under subjection and fear. Hallelujah. See, the systems of men are simply there to take away your joy and to subject you to fear. All over the air, the atmosphere is just waves of fear, fear, fear. See, but Jesus Christ says to his disciples that in that day, no man shall be able to take away your joy from you. see, when you come to the place of perfection, when you get the revelation of Christ and enter into this great mystery, the systems of men can no longer touch your joy. These are the principalities and powers. The systems of men, the systems of this world, can no more touch your peace and your joy, because you are lifted far above them. You are no longer beneath but above. Praise God. So the Israelites were subjected to the Philistines for 40 years. And working out deliverance for the Israelites, God raised up Samson. He sent a messenger to the mother who was barren. And these are the words of the angel to the mother of Samson. Now, the mother of Samson is the wife of Manoah. Judges chapter 13 verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any clean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Praise God. Hallelujah. Out of Zion will comfort a deliverer. Out of the peak of Zion will comfort a deliverer. This is what the angel is announcing today, that you shall conceive and bring forth Christ. This is the same announcement that was pronounced to Mary. We know the story of Mary. See, thou shalt bring forth a holy thing that shall inherit the throne of David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That is the birthing of Christ. Paul says that I travail that you bring forth Christ, that you birth Christ. Praise God. That messenger of God is standing here today in the spirit, speaking to you who are listening out there today, that you shall bring forth a seed. Praise God. Who shall deliver the Israelites from the hands of the Philistines. This is a spiritual seed, a celestial seed, a holy seed. Hallelujah. This is the birthing of Christ in us, the birthing of the man child, the manifestation or the unveiling of the Son of God. First of all, it comes with an announcement of the truth. First of all, comes it the message, the evangel, the good news, the angel announcing to you that you shall bear a son who shall be called the Son of the Highest. Praise God. If we have not brought forth Christ, we are barren. See, barrenness is a spiritual state of infertility, where you are not able to bring forth after the man of the spirit or the attributes of the spirit. Praise God. Like I've said it, if a man passes this world without manifesting the Christ within, it's like a stillborn baby that enters into this world and goes out, because in reality he has not seen anything. Oh mighty God, praise God. Hallelujah. Now this is a message to the church. Those of you who are who have this hope. Those of you who are standing in Christ today, those of you who are experiencing this unveiling today, those of you who are traveling in birth today to bring forth the seed of Christ in you, is saying that thou shall not, you shall not drink strong drink, which is alcohol, or eat any unclean thing. Now, what does he talk about? What does it mean? You shall not drink any strong drink. You shall not drink alcoholic drinks. You can't take wine. You can't take beer. You can't take whiskey. What does it mean by that? What he's saying is that simply, you should abstain from the spirit of this world. Spiritually speaking, the wine, there are two types of wine. There is the wine which is the spirit of the world, and there is the wine which is the spirit of God. See, in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, Paul says, be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the spirit. What spirit? The spirit of God. Speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Praise God. Be not filled with wine. He's not just talking here about drinking physical, He's not talking here materially speaking. He's talking of the spirit of this world. See it? In another verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, you are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep at night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. Are you listening? They that sleep, sleep at night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. That is the world. Those that walk in the night are those who walk in ignorance according to the course of this age. Those that walk in the night are those who are not illumined with the Spirit of God. They walk in nothingness. So that was the state in Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning, when it says there was darkness over the face of the deep. See, and God said, let there be light, and he separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day and the darkness night. We today are of the day. We who receive the illumination from the eyes of the lamp of God. We who receive the seven spirits of God. The illumination streaming from the heart of God. We are of the day. We shift over from the night to the day. This is the inworking of the spirit in us today. Those that are in the night are the ones who are drunk. Now when you are drunk, you misbehave. When you are drunk, you lose all sense of control. So your eyes begin to see vain things. You begin to mutter vain things, utter vain things. You begin to act weird, strange, as if you are influenced by a spirit, isn't it? Have you seen a real drunk person before? He loses all consciousness of his true self and begins to act strange. When you see somebody drunk, wait for him to recover and to become sober again. You will discover that he probably will not remember some of the things he did while he was drunk. That talks of the state of a man today. The man who does not walk in the knowledge of the truth is drunk. See, he just does things and is swayed to and fro by the spirit of this world. By the spirit of darkness, Satan. Praise God. But those of us who will manifest Christ, those of us who are standing in this place today, manifesting the light, manifesting the Holy Seed, which is Christ in us, we are admonished to abstain from the spirit of this world. See, which is just the spirit of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. See, it's the spirit and the reasoning of men, the wisdom of men. See, it's that same spirit that drove Adam into becoming a fool, thinking that he could gain this world. See, he changed, you know, that thing which is of God. See it into the mortal image of the man of the dust for the gain of this world. Adam exchanged his glorious nature in the nature of God into that of a mortal just to gain this world. That means he descended from the spirit. That is the spirit of this world. That is the reason of this man, of the men of this age, is to gain this world. So that's why there is conflict, that's why there is warring here and there. And all these things is just the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that is what reigns in this age. It's the spirit of this world. But we who bring forth Christ are admonished to abstain from strong drink. It's the lies of men, abstain from the lies of men. The proverb, book of Proverbs says that when you drink wine, your eyes will see strange women. Your eyes will see strange things. You'll be tossed to and fro like the waves in the sea. That is the state of the drunken man. And your poverty will come speedily upon you. Praise God. Now we understand what the angel meant when he says, you shall not drink strong drink. It means that you shall receive only the spirit of truth. Walk by the spirit of truth soberly. Say it soberly. Praise God. Walk soberly by the spirit of God. When you are sober, you don't go about speaking high words. You don't go about, you know, walking in pride. Rather, you humble yourself and exercise yourself to walk faithfully before the face of the living one. That is sobriety. See it. When you are sober, you subject your flesh under you and you exercise yourself to walk before the living one. Because besides him, there is none other. Walk in truth. Praise God. You have to come to the place where you can say, I always do the things that please him. You please who? You are pleasing that invisible one. Hallelujah. Let's go forward. Unclean food also is the same thing. Unclean food is all the wisdom of this age, the doctrines, the word, the beliefs of this age that defy a man. See, it's all about the wisdom of man, the knowledge of man, the beliefs of man. Whether it be religious, whether it be, you know, institutional or whatever, all these are things that defile a man. We must abstain from these things and receive that pure bread that comes from heaven, which is the word of truth. Praise God. So Samson, like we knew, grew up and his hair was never shaven. The Bible said that he had 7 locks upon his head. 7 locks. Why was it 7 locks? There is a message here. 7 locks. There were 7 locks upon the head of Samson. And like we know, Samson was a superhuman being. He did things that no other man did physically. This is a shadow of the Son of God. Praise God. Who walk in the power and in the majesty of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Great, great works like of Samson. Some examples that how he destroyed, he tore tore a lion apart. He destroyed a lion with his bare hands. He slew 30 men at once in a town called Ashkelon. As in his anger, he slew 30 men. You know what it means to destroy 30 men? One man against 30 men? Rarely can you see one person defeating 3 men, talk less of 30 men. In another incident, he slew 1,000 Philistines with the fresh jawbone of an ass, of a donkey. 1,000 men, he slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. Can you imagine that 1,000 men, just one man, slaying 1,000 men? And another case, the Bible says that he uprooted a gate in a city, he uprooted the gate and carried that gate, the gates, the bars of that gate, he carried it up to the top of a hill which faces Hebron. You see, all these are works, examples of the works of Samson that made him dreaded. He was dreaded among the Philistines, the enemies of God. The fame of Samson spread and he was dreaded. All these are just examples of the dominion and the power over the principalities and powers that the Son of God possesses. Power over every situation, so that the circumstances that affect men cannot affect you. Nothing can touch your peace, nothing can touch your joy. You can reign in absolute victory from age to age, and the secret was in the 7 locks upon the head of Samson. Praise God. Samson today is you and I. Praise God. We who receive the testimony, he has given us the power to become sons of God. He has given us the power to ascend and to stand in the place of all power. He has given us the power to sit down at the right side of the Father, having all principalities and power subject over us, far above. Hallelujah. All power in heaven and earth is given to us. See, nobody could touch Samson. Even an army couldn't defeat Samson as long as he maintained those 7 locks upon the head. Praise God. And today those 7 locks represent the spiritual eyes of our understanding, which is actually the 7 eyes of the Lamb. It is the 7 spirits of God. So Samson represents the man of the spirit who walks by spiritual insight. He does not walk after the flesh. See, he walks in the invisible. He sees only that which the man of the spirit sees. He walks in God's kingdom, in the light. So he's not of this world. This is what the Spirit was trying to demonstrate with those 7 locks of Samson. All Samson needed to do was to maintain those 7 locks. See, and this was a secret nobody knew except the parents of Samson. It was a closely guarded secret. Even Samson never told anybody. And as long as it was a secret of his power, nobody could touch him. Praise God. Now some Samson along the line, like we know, fell. Hallelujah. See, the Philistines recognized that they could not touch Samson. So they devised another means of getting to Samson, and they did this by using a lady called Delilah. the beautiful Delilah, the seductive Delilah. Since and after days and days of pestering Samson for the secret behind his power, the secret behind his supernatural power, Samson submitted to the seductress. He said, you know, submitted to Delilah and revealed the secret. And what happens? Delilah cut the 7 locks off of the hair of Samson. And the Bible says that the moment she did that, the Spirit of God left Samson. That supernatural power, that supernatural ability left Samson. And Samson became like an ordinary man. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. The strength of Samson left him, and he became like an ordinary man. See, even Delilah started to push him around, to torment him, and he couldn't even touch Delilah. He became wicked. That shows the wicked state of a man when he loses the insight of the spirit, when he loses the eyes of his understanding. That is why many are weak today. That is why many are sick today. That is why many are dying today. That is why many are subject to the powers of hell and death today. It's because the eyes of the understanding have been darkened. The eyes, those 7 eyes have been sealed. The eye of the spirit, the inner eye of the spirit. Hallelujah. And there was great rejoicing in the land of Philistines. Samson had fallen. See it. He talks of a son of God who loses his place in the light. When you follow after the lie, when you don't keep yourself in the truth. Remember that the duty of a son of God is to keep himself. Keep himself. Keep himself. So that the wicked one will not touch you. The wicked one wants to shave off those 7 locks from your head. Praise God. Delilah represents the world today. Delilah represents the systems of men. The glories of this world. The systems of religion. It represents Babylon. This is the system that seduces the saints of God, that seduces men and draws men away from the truth. This is the same seduction that Adam fell from in the beginning. Adam fell. This is the same seduction through the serpent. This is the same seduction that they tried to entice Jesus with. Remember, Jesus too was Lord in the wilderness. They tried to tempt Jesus. I'll give you the glories of this world if you just worship me. I'll give you the glories of this world if you just worship me. This is the temptation of Christ, of, you know, that works today in the systems of men and in the systems of religion. It's a pool of Satan. Pool. Trying to rob you of your spiritual insight and understanding. Praise God. But God today is giving us the key to escape. How we can escape and retain our power. How we can escape and retain that dominion which we had from the foundation of the world. Because God never generated any man to suffer. God never generated any man to be subject to the powers of hell. God never generated any man to become a slave to corruption. This once radiant, glorious Samson became a mortal man. And the Philistines put him in fetters, in chains of bonds. He became a slave of the Philistines. And the Bible says he was put in prison. And his eyes, his two eyes were plucked out. They plucked out his eyes. And he was put in prison and he began to grind corn, grind the meal of the Philistines. He became a slave to corruption. A slave to the systems of men. To the beliefs of men. A slave to the lies and the darkness of this age. A slave to unrighteousness, to lust. And that was the Son of God that was being mocked. See, and tormented in the prison of in the prison. That's the Son of God. You see, just imagine Samson without eyes. This once great Samson, powerful Samson, invisible Samson, without eyes. You know, grinding corn, humiliated in the prison houses of the Philistines. This is the state of the Son of God today who does not walk in the light. This is the state of the Son of God today who loses the seven eyes, the seven spiritual eyes of the lamp, which is the spiritual insight from the beginning. Praise God. Hallelujah. He has come now to give us understanding once more. Praise God. Hallelujah. He has descended from heaven now to give us understanding. Praise God. He has descended from heaven to illuminate us once more. Praise God. He has given us, he has come from heaven to enlighten us once more. He has come from heaven once more to, you know, open the eyes of our understanding so we can see once more and to be liberated from the prison houses of the Philistines. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. To set you free from the slave, you know, the prison here, the dungeons of corruption. That is the thing that God was trying to demonstrate as the locks, the seven locks upon the head of Samson gradually began to grow. The Philistines had forgotten. But those seven locks upon the head of Samson began to grow again. Meaning that it began to grow once more in wisdom and in understanding. See, this is the work that God is doing today in his body. Causing an increase in spiritual insight, understanding. It's restoring the eyesight. It's restoring this, you know, those eyes, the seven eyes of the lamp within us. Opening them so that we can escape the realm of death. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? That's why you hear things like this today. It's the Spirit of God quickening you, giving you understanding so that you can escape those dungeons and prison house of Satan and come out once more into the place of all power. Praise God. Now, let us quickly round up with Judges chapter 16. Let us see this last symbolic gesture of Samson before he departed the scene. Judges chapter 16 verse 26. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them." Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "Oh Lord God, remember me, I pray." Hallelujah. "Remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray. Just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." Are you listening? For my two eyes.
Hallelujah.
And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. And then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He judged Israel 20 years. Praise God. What a wonderful ending. See, what a wonderful ending. See, what happened? This last blow of Samson actually annihilated the whole leadership generation of the Philistines. It was a real blow. You can just imagine all the president's men, all the ministers, all the generals, the top lords of the Philistines were wiped out in one blow as a result of the resurrected power of Samson. Praise God. Now Samson asked, he made a prayer request that he should die. How many of us are ready to lose our lives? We must come to the place where we do not love our lives. See, as Samson lay between and he stood between those two pillars, we have a picture of one here on the cross. To gain the victory over this world, we must lose our lives. We must let go of our lives to take a hold of the man of the spirit. All these are prophetic utterances here. Hallelujah. The seven locks of Samson had begun to grow, and the spirit, that supernatural strength of God, was restored to him as he prayed, "Father, remember me. Remember me just this once." How many of us realize that we are not forgotten? Hallelujah. We are not forgotten, no matter where we are. No matter if we find ourselves in the furthest, darkest, deepest places of the earth, he is there. And he's lifting us up. Praise God. Samson had the victory with this last blow. And I say today, all that the saints need is that they have these seven locks grow back upon them. It's spiritual insight. It's the celestial wisdom to behold into the real dimension of Christ. Praise God. Those who will enter into the place of life and be victorious in everything are those who are able to exercise themselves in the spirit and to enter in by faith this very moment. Praise God. The Philistines and all this represent the principalities and powers, the reasonings, the wisdoms, the understanding, and all the darkness of this age. These are the things that put fear and the worries and all the torment in the hearts of men. We overcome these things by receiving truth. Praise God. It's continuous growing in the truth. Knowing the truth shall set you free. No more walking as unwise or as foolish men whose eyes of understanding have been darkened. But we now walk in relation to the Spirit, beholding that majesty of the one that sits on the throne. Praise God. So we can see this, a message has been, was locked up in that story of Samson for you and I. God has given us the victory today. All we need is to receive the keys from above. Receive the keys from above, and I tell you, the prison house, the prison walls, and everything that holds us bound to a contrary nature, everything that has veiled us, is destroyed instantly by the power of the Almighty God. God bless you, brethren. Amen.